And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Once again, appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the show this morning. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more on them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, any news going on? Anything you guys are following, tracking? Kind of a slow news day yesterday, right? Nothing too crazy. Sparring back and forth on social media. Pretty light day in all estimations. All right, so let's start. Let's get into this. Elon Musk and Donald Trump. It's been an interesting relationship from the start. You are looking at two very different individuals. Two very influential individuals, but two very different individuals. And I think what has spawned the riff that you saw yesterday, the back and forth with Elon Musk and Donald Trump, Elon seemingly just crashing out on social media, claiming that Trump is in the Epstein files and they haven't been released, threatening to decommission SpaceX rockets, just a classic pissing match. There's no other way to describe it between Elon and Trump. Trump antagonized him. He fired back, the back and forth. This is where I kind of been falling on this, and we'll go through all the analysis this morning. Welcome your comments as well. You can text them in live at 910-377-6425. You can also comment on any of our live feeds this morning, whether that be on YouTube, Rumble, or X, if you'd like to get your comments in on the show this morning. So just kind of looking at this whole process. Elon Musk and Donald Trump are coming at things from two very different perspectives. When you look at Elon Musk, he is used to operating in a space, in a sphere, where when he wants something, right, when you look at Tesla, or you look at SpaceX, or you look at Starlink, these various companies, he has been able to accomplish what takes things like the government 10, 15, 20 years to accomplish, is able to accomplish those things in the matter of months, if not years. Very quick in his innovation and his ability to adapt to situations and get things done. It's what makes him so successful and makes him one of the wealthiest men in the entire world. And so you've got this issue going on where you have President Donald Trump, who understands the practicality of politics. Whether we like it or not, I'm not going to sit here this morning and attempt to sugarcoat the reality of what the political system looks like. There are no kings. You don't get what you want 100% of the time. And many times you have to make compromises to get things that you want. That's the practicality of politics, whether you like it or not. You don't have to say you agree with it. You don't have to say you like it. You wish it was different. All of that is fair. But there is a practical way in which things get done as it relates to politics. They just are. Again, you could think they're stupid. You don't like them. Doesn't matter. There's a practical way to get things done. Elon Musk is not used to operating in that space. He is used to assembling the best teams of engineers in the world and getting projects done at a rapid rate of speed. That is the industry that he is in. And he's in the tech sector, and that is, you know, comes with that field. Government is a different animal. When you are dealing with hundreds of elected officials as it relates to the House and the Senate and trying to get everybody on board for something, it is very hard to herd those cats. And that's exactly what it is. It is very hard for anybody, whether it's President Donald Trump or anybody else, to get wide sweeping change done in the federal government. It is a slow process. Right, the idea, the issues that we're facing right now, the trillions of dollars, well, it's almost $37 trillion in federal debt that's crippling and will eventually cripple the United States, that is not a process that you fix in even 2 or 4 years. That takes a decade of very strategic cuts, very strategic governance to get that ship corrected. You've heard the analogy of, and you know, down here in Wilmington, you look at the port of Wilmington when you have these large cargo ships that come in. Those ships don't turn on a dime. Though it is a very slow process of getting those ships turned around back down the Cape Fear River and back to the Atlantic Ocean. It is not a quick process. It's not something that happens overnight. These things take a long time to play out. And so I think the issue that you're maybe seeing, maybe part of it, boiling to the surface is Elon Musk's frustration and probably the realization that government doesn't work as quickly as somebody like he would like. Government doesn't do things in a rapid enough way in the way in which he is used to operate. Now, that is not to say that Elon Musk is wrong about everything that he's been claiming. His criticisms of the big, beautiful bill are well noted and in some cases are spot on. The things that he is saying, the criticism that he is levying is 100% accurate. But there's one big thing that Elon Musk, I think, in a grave mistake that he made yesterday. Now, there are reports this morning that Trump and Musk are set to speak today. That is being reported by a couple of different media outlets this morning. Not sure when that time is to take scheduled to take place, but Reuters is claiming that Donald Trump's aides did schedule a call between him and Musk to take place today. So we'll obviously watch and see what comes of that. But I think the big miscalculation that Elon Musk made yesterday, and there were a couple of them, but the biggest issue he made is that people's support of Donald Trump is far greater and far stronger than Elon's. Elon Musk is now hated by the left. A group of people that once adored him, loved him, thought everything that he did was absolutely phenomenal with Tesla. He was just the poster boy, the hero of the left. He then seemingly woke up and realized that the people that were such fans of him are mentally ill and their policies are disastrous for a nation going forward. He started trending more and more to the right, got involved with President Donald Trump in the latter parts of the election in the campaign last year, started showing up on stage, got hyper involved in politics, raising and spending millions, tens of millions of dollars to get Trump and other candidates elected across the United States. But the big mistake that he's made is that people's loyalty is to Trump, not to him. And if you watched this unfold yesterday on social media, this back and forth pissing match between Trump and Elon, it was very obvious that the loyalty is still with Trump. Donald Trump has a relationship that he has built with the American people for a decade. He has, for the last 10 years, going back to the latter parts of 2015, created and has worked on creating a very substantial relationship with tens of millions of American voters. These people are so interested and are so loyal to President Donald Trump, I don't think Elon truly grasps that concept. Yes, people support Elon Musk. Yes, people support the Department of Government Efficiency and are grateful and thankful for the work that he's done. But what people don't appreciate is a guy who is a relatively newcomer to this whole thing. He's been involved in this for less than a year at this point, really kind of full-throated involvement is about a year or so. What they don't appreciate is him going on social media and making the ridiculous claim that he did yesterday that Elon Musk is in the, or that Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. Therefore, that's why they have not been released. He did an incredible amount of damage to his image as it comes from the side of the Trump supporting base yesterday afternoon. I don't know what spawned this. I don't exactly know what caused this. There's a couple of different reports out there. Apparently, Elon Musk was very behind some guy to be the head of NASA. Trump kind of blocked that in the process and said, no, it's not going to be this guy. It's going to be somebody else. That was one of the early rumors as I was doing some research yesterday afternoon. It seemed like it may have kind of started this cascading effect of this back and forth. You then, of course, have the controversy over the big, beautiful bill. Elon Musk, you know, seemingly coming from the aspect and the point that it doesn't go far enough. There needs to be substantial more cuts. President Donald Trump says the bill is great. He's pushing forward with it. So there's a lot that's been going on as it relates to this relationship which has been pretty strong now over the last couple of months. But seemingly, you would have expected it to have an end like this. Now, I don't know that you would have necessarily expected it to unfold the way that it did on social media, but I don't think anybody would have told you that this was going to be a clean and nice and happy separation between these two. You were talking about one of the most influential men in American politics, that being Donald Trump, and one of what I will argue is one of the most innovative people in American society, which is Elon Musk. Two juggernauts, two individuals that have an incredible amount of respect and authority in their respective fields. And so it seemed obvious, with as close as Elon was to Trump and rumors and reports that Elon was starting to get on Trump's nerves and he was trying to act as a co-president in the United States. He was trying to, push Trump around, but try and make and push for substantial decisions that the Trump administration was not in favor of. It's, to me, not really a huge surprise that things unfolded this way, with the two strong personalities that you're dealing with. So Elon Musk has been pushing the criticism of the Big Beautiful Bill. President Donald Trump responded to that yesterday afternoon. He was in the Oval Office, in the White House. This is kind of where things started playing out. This was Trump's initial response to some of the criticism on Elon Musk. This was before the whole back and forth on X yesterday afternoon. Here's the president.
So we've done a great job. Elon knew that. Elon endorsed me very strongly. He actually went up and campaigned for me. I think I would have won. Susie would say I would have won Pennsylvania easily anyway, even if the governor ran, the real governor, not the governor from Minnesota, he's a sick puppy, that guy. That poor guy, I feel sorry for him. But they made a bad choice with him. But if you pick Shapiro or anybody else, I spoke to him recently about his house being set on fire, which was terrible. But if they picked him, I would have won Pennsylvania. I won it by a lot. But I'm very disappointed because Elon knew the inner workings of this bill better than almost anybody sitting here, better than you people. He knew everything about it. He had no problem with it. All of a sudden, he had a problem, and he only developed the problem when he found out that we're going to have to cut the EV mandate, because that's billions and billions of dollars, and it really is unfair. We want to have cars of all types. Electric, we want to have electric, but we want to have a gasoline, combustion. We want to have different. We want to have hybrids. We want to have all. We want to be able to sell everything. And when that was cut, and Congress wanted to cut it, he became a little bit different, and I can understand that. But he knew every aspect of this bill. He knew it better than almost anybody, and he never had a problem until right after he left. And if you saw the statements he made about me, which I'm sure you can get very easily, it's very fresh on tape, he said the most beautiful things about me. And he hasn't said bad about me personally, but I'm sure that'll be next. But I'm very disappointed in Elon. I've helped Elon a lot.
Mr. President, I just want to clarify, did he raise any of these concerns with you privately before he raised them publicly? And this is the guy you put in charge of cutting spending. Should people not take him seriously about spending now? Are you saying this is all sour grapes?
No, he worked hard and he did a good job. And I'll be honest, I think he misses the place. I think he got out there and all of a sudden he wasn't in this beautiful Oval Office, and he's got nice offices too. But there's something about this one. I was telling the chancellor, this is where it is. People come in here, even from Germany. They come in and walk into the Oval Office, and it's just a special place. It's, World War I, it started and it ended here, and World War II, and so many other things. Everything big comes right from this beautiful space. It's now much more beautiful than it was 6 months ago. A lot of good things are happening in this room. And I'll tell you, he's not the first. People leave my administration and they love us. And then at some point they miss it so badly, and some of them embrace it and some of them actually become hostile. I don't know what it is. It's sort of Trump derangement syndrome, I guess they call it. But we have it with others too. They leave and they wake up in the morning and the glamour's gone, the whole world is different, and they become hostile. I don't know what it is. Someday you'll write a book about it and you'll let us know. Yeah.
And so that's that. That was yesterday, right around noon. This was before the back and forth took place on social media with Elon Musk and the comments and claims that he was making yesterday. And so President Trump is of the mindset that it's due to the EV mandate that is being stripped out of the federal government within the big, beautiful bill, which I think should be stripped out. I mean, you were talking about the federal government picking winners or losers, winners and losers, excuse me, as it relates to vehicles. And the EV mandate has absolutely propped up Tesla and many other EV manufacturers because you can buy those cars and get thousands of dollars worth of rebates from the federal government. In some cases, tens of thousands of dollars between federal, state, and local incentive packages to purchase these vehicles. So that's Trump is of the mindset that it's really the EV mandate that struck the chord with Elon and caused him to go off on this this diatribe that he did yesterday afternoon, where not only did he make the claims about the Epstein files, he seemingly indicated that Trump should be impeached and replaced with J.D. Vance. Not sure under what grounds you would impeach President Trump for the big, beautiful bill. Not sure that there's an impeachable offense listed or located in there, but he claimed that, and he went back and forth threatening to cancel some SpaceX programs that the federal government's using. All of this taking place yesterday afternoon, and it sucks because you look at the relationship between Trump and Elon, and it was a very powerful one. Now, could it be repaired? Maybe. They're supposed to have a call this afternoon, sometime today, I guess. I'm not sure Trump's ever going to allow him back into that inner circle, though. And I'm sure that's where Elon wants to be. I can only imagine the intoxication that takes place when you are at that level of government. When Elon Musk is standing side by side with the president, he's sitting in cabinet meetings. It's got to be rather intoxicating for anybody, regardless of their success, regardless of how successful they are in business, of which Elon Musk is incredibly, that's got to be pretty intoxicating. He hit his 130-day deadline of being a special government employee. He gracefully left the administration back just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure that there's some level of this that is he's no longer in the inner circle. He's no longer, you know, in the president's ear day by day when things are going on. And I'm sure that's hard to deal with. I'm sure that that loss of power, if you want to call it that, that loss of influence probably has had an effect on Elon Musk. But again, I'll remind you, the loyalty of the American public is not to Elon Musk. It's to President Donald Trump. They have a 10-year relationship with Trump, not with Elon. And that's what I think is his grave miscalculation. You know, he's been, of course, the poster boy of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. And to his credit, he's done a lot of really phenomenal work with DOGE, and he deserves to be commended for that. President Donald Trump has consistently talked about the great work that he's done. He even mentioned it in this interview yesterday afternoon as Elon was freaking out on social media over the last couple of days over this idea over this idea of the lack of spending cuts in the big, beautiful bill that has passed the House and is now being debated and combed over and gone through in the United States Senate. And so nobody's taking away the great work that Elon Musk did. Nobody is taking away the eye-opening information that he brought to the American people. I think the big miscalculation is that Elon Musk believed that he essentially was a co-president. And you know, that's what the left talked about, right? All of their stupid rallies that they hosted throughout the United States, yelling and screaming about how Musk is an unelected, he's operating as a co-president. This would seemingly indicate that that was obviously not the case. Elon may have thought that that was the case for a period of time, and he realized he's not. And the reality is, he isn't. This is the Donald Trump administration. President Trump was the one that successfully garnered tens of millions of votes in the November election last year to get reelected to the Oval Office, to be reelected as the 47th president of the United States. It wasn't Elon Musk. And when he claims that Trump wouldn't have won without him, he's just full of it. It's that kind of commentary that, as somebody who has been supportive of Elon Musk and his Doge efforts, somebody who has been supportive of President Donald Trump, makes Elon Musk look like a complete and total jackass. I mean, there's just no other way around it. Yes, he's an influential guy. Yes, he's a powerful guy. But to single-handedly claim that if Elon Musk wasn't involved in the 2024 election, that Donald Trump would have lost, there's nothing to back that up. Trump won 7 swing states. The November election wasn't a tight one. Wasn't a very close margin for Trump. He handedly won that election. Was it helpful to have Elon Musk on board? Absolutely. Was it great to have Elon Musk out there and getting voters out and getting people engaged in swing states like Pennsylvania? Absolutely. I'm not going to argue that. But when you put yourself in a position and then claim that, well, he couldn't have won without me, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. And it goes to show what I think I'm going to describe as the immaturity of Elon Musk. It's just an immature statement to make. He's got his problems with the big, beautiful bill. Fine. Lay your criticisms out there. You've got one of the most prominent social media platforms in the world as your megaphone. Lay it out there. Put it out there. Have people call their Congress members. Have them call their senators and demand action. You have the ability to do that. But to me, you lose all credibility when you get into this childish pissing match with Trump and make the claim that, well, without me, he wouldn't have won anyway. Again, you're looking at a guy who has only been actively involved in politics for about a year, sparring with somebody who has built a relationship and a significant amount of trust with the American people for a decade. That's the key difference. And I think that's what Elon Musk probably doesn't understand. He is of the mindset that people love him just as much as they love Trump. And if he draws a line in the sand, which he absolutely has, that people will rally around him and not Trump. That's not the case. The reality is the MAGA base is always going to stand with Trump. Other people come and go. Allies and friends, they come and go. They have done so for a decade. People are involved, and then they have a break with Trump, whether it's something planned or there's a huge disagreement. The loyalty always stays with the president. And if you look at some of the engagement on Elon Musk's X posts yesterday, it's obvious and clear that that's the case. Yeah, you've got some people that are claiming that he's in the right, but the vast majority of people are incredibly frustrated with the kind of commentary coming from Elon Musk yesterday. They find it incredibly disrespectful, and what I'll claim is just a huge flipping waste of time. It's just a huge waste of time. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. It puts forward absolutely nothing. Elon Musk is not going to get the cuts he wants in the big, beautiful bill by claiming that Trump wouldn't have won without him and that he's implicated in the Epstein files. I know Elon Musk's not a political savant. There's no argument about that. But what the hell was he thinking? What did he believe was going to come forward with making this commentary? Did he think Trump was going to cower and back down and say, oh, no, Elon, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're absolutely right about this. Not a chance in hell. He's been with Trump long enough to know that that's not how the president operates. Trump is not going to bow down or back down from something that he's passionate about or in favor of because he's getting some heat. Elon should know this. If he spent that much time with Trump, he has to know how the president operates. He has to know the way in which Trump deals with issues, and threatening him like that on X yesterday is absolutely not the solution at all under any circumstances. Getting some commentary in on our text line this morning at 910-377-6425, as well as our live chats on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Leslie is texting in from Wilmington saying, quote, I guess now the left can see that Musk is not the unelected person in charge that they thought he was. Absolutely, Leslie, you're spot on with that analysis. If this was, you know, Elon was essentially running the government, which is what the Democrats wanted you to believe, this wouldn't have been happening. This wouldn't have happened at all. Aaron is texting in from Wilmington as well. He says, do you think this could be a PSYOP and they are trying to put focus on policies and issues that would otherwise never see the light of day? For example, the Epstein files. You know, Aaron, that's an interesting point. And I saw some of this, some of those same comments on social media yesterday. If you had asked me 2 days ago, if this was some sort of 4D chess, some sort of six-dimensional chess going on between Trump and Elon, and behind the scenes they were orchestrating this, I may have lended some thought to that. But watching what I saw yesterday with Elon Musk just completely unloading on the president publicly, again, making the claim that he's implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein files. It's the reason that they haven't been released. Claiming that the president should be impeached from his post as the president of the United States. I don't think I can lend any credibility to that at this point. Maybe 2 days ago, but this back and forth yesterday is not two guys that are secretly working behind the scenes to bring things up to the public light. Elon Musk is scorned. He is pissed off with what's going on, and he has absolutely no ability to deal with it. He's trying to make change, which, again, I applaud. I do believe there needs to be more substantial cuts as it relates to this bill, and there needs to be more of the Doge cuts really put into play in this legislation. Absolutely. But the practicality is you don't always get 100% of what you want in politics. And I think Elon Musk struggles with that. He's used to getting what he wants. He's used to surrounding himself with the smartest people in the world and getting unbelievable things done, like with SpaceX, like with Tesla, like with Starlink, and Neuralink, and all of these other projects and programs that he works on. He's used to getting what he wants. And the reality is, in politics sometimes, you just don't. Now, he might believe that they, in fact, could get more done. Maybe they're not working hard enough. Again, all of that criticism is fine. All of that criticism is totally above board and totally appropriate for somebody like Elon Musk. I do find it interesting that Trump's comments makes the comment yesterday that, you know, Elon never had any criticism of this legislation. He was a valid part of it and knew more about it than anybody else this entire time, seemingly making a serious question as to what caused this. President claiming that it was some of the electric vehicle subsidies being stripped out or being put in and therefore being canceled. So I don't know that I'm going to put any stock into the idea that this is some sort of behind the scenes chess match, some sort of psyop that's going on that is going to lead to all of this information coming to light. I just don't see that taking place. Couple of comments on our Rumble chat this morning saying, that this is absolutely a distraction. Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I'm a large believer that the distractions in government are normally pretty well orchestrated and planned. The reality is Elon Musk is an uncontrollable individual, and that's a good thing, right? He is an incredibly wealthy guy. He's an incredibly smart guy. But he's not going to be controlled. And I think he struggled with the fact that he couldn't control Trump. And the reality is, nobody can control Trump. That's what makes him such an interesting political figure. That's what I think a lot of people really love and appreciate about the president. Even with his closest confidants, even with his closest advisors, people like Stephen Miller, Susie Wiles, and Elon Musk, he's not controllable. You can't buy him off. You can't force him to do things that he's against doing. He's not that guy. It's just not Trump's brand of politics, which for many Americans, they find very refreshing. They find it very refreshing that the president is not somebody that's going to be whipped into changing his mind because somebody close to him says, Mr. President, this is a bad idea. When Trump's got his mind on something, which he absolutely does with this big, beautiful bill, he is going to push forward come hell or high water. Whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision is irrelevant. The reality is he is going to push forward full steam ahead. Now, he'll reassess at a certain point if it's necessary. Sure, you've seen that with the tariffs. If there comes a time where it's not working out and he is aware of that, he will absolutely change his tune. He will be willing to go back and adapt and modify and transform to make things work. No question about that. But he is hell-bent on getting this legislation passed, and nobody is going to stop him, including Elon Musk. And I think that's what Elon fails to wrap his head around. We'll get into some more details on this breakup yesterday between President Trump and the owner of X and the founder of SpaceX and Tesla, Elon Musk, coming up here in just a few minutes. Before that, I want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. When legal challenges arise, put your trust in the law group here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or online their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. I use the Law Group back almost 5 years ago, coming up next month to go through my real estate transaction when I purchased my house. It was a phenomenal experience working with the great team over at the Law Group. Give them a call, 910-251-6088. On the other side, we'll get to some more of your comments on this back and forth battle between Elon Musk and Donald Trump, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble and X, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Good Friday morning to you. Thanks for spending some time with us, whether that's live at 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, and X, or 24/7 on your own time by listening to the Nick Craig Show podcast. Greatly appreciate you joining us this morning as we cover an interesting day yesterday between President Donald Trump and his former special advisor, Elon Musk. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time on it, but I want to kind of end the conversation with this. Can the relationship be repaired? And the question is, does the relationship need to be repaired? And I think that's an interesting question. Does it? Elon Musk has spawned up the Department of Government Efficiency. Elon Musk has brought forth what I will call radical change to the federal government through DOGE. His DOGE team is still there. They are still operating. I was never of the mindset, and I mean this genuinely, I'm sure some will say, oh, well, you're just saying this now, but I was never of the mindset that Elon Musk was going to be with President Donald Trump for 4 years. It's not practical. Elon Musk is in charge of an incredible amount of industries and companies that he needs to be actively involved in. He gave up essentially the last 6 months of those companies, and they, of course, have still continued to produce, and SpaceX rescued those astronauts back a couple of months ago. Things are still going on there. But his sole focus, I was never of the opinion and the mindset that that was going to be a forever relationship between the two for 4 years. I was always of the mindset that Elon would come in, start working on things, get some systems set up, which is what he's great at doing, turn over the keys to somebody else, and go on to the next project. When you look at Elon Musk's companies, that's what he does. When you look at SpaceX, or you look at Tesla, or you look at X itself, that's what Elon does. He's not running those companies day in and day out. Is he making, at the end of the day, making big decisions? Absolutely. But he's not in the mud every single day running the company. He doesn't have the time, or I would argue probably the brain capacity to do it. So what has he done? He has surrounded himself with some of the brightest, smartest, most intelligent people in their respective fields and industries. Those are the ones that are in charge. Those are the ones making those day-to-day decisions. Those are the ones that are continuing the growth, whether it's through SpaceX or Starlink or Tesla or the social media platform X. That's what Elon does. So there was never, I never had this opinion that this was a forever relationship. I wish it could have lasted a little bit longer. I don't think there's any recovering it. I can imagine. Obviously, I've had the pleasure of interviewing the president a couple of times. I've had the opportunity to meet him, but I don't know him well enough. However, I don't believe that he is going to welcome Elon back into his circle. Donald Trump is somebody that is very big on loyalty. Donald Trump is somebody that believes in loyalty incredibly. He is somebody that wants people to surround him and support him. Elon Musk broke that yesterday. Elon Musk decided that he was going to make some very serious claims about the president of the United States. And I don't think there's any coming back from that. There is supposedly going, according to Reuters, they are reporting this morning that aides for the president have scheduled a call between Trump and Elon sometime today, noting that the two men would speak. However, they did not give any additional details on and any time for when that call was supposed to happen. So I'm sure there will be a call. I'm sure that Elon Musk is once again going to make his play or his make this plea to President Trump to exemplify some of the Doge cuts and to change this and to change that. But I'm not sure Trump really even cares at this point, to be honest with you. The reality is, and I've already mentioned this a couple of times, but I'll bring it up again. The reality is the MAGA base is with Donald Trump ride or die 100% of the time. They're not forever fans of Elon Musk. They're not permanently in debt to Elon Musk like many folks are politically to Trump, which is not inherently a bad thing. But, people, again, have been wearing the red MAGA hat and have been standing by the president for 10 years now. 10 years. It's very hard to break up that relationship in the matter of just a couple of months, even with all the good work that Elon Musk did. He's threatening to make a third party. That was one of his threats yesterday as well, that, America and the United States needs a substantial third party, which I don't inherently disagree with. But saying this just days after you leave the White House, working with the Republican administration, just seems stupid. It seems childish. Aqua Blue is commenting on our Rumble chat this morning, saying it's a father-son relationship too. So not surprised Elon was put in his place, but sad that it's happening in such a public, immature way. Elon is having a temper tantrum. Hard to disagree with that. I don't know how you could look at what you saw yesterday and not see it anything but a temper tantrum. President Donald Trump responding to this yesterday afternoon in a post on Truth Social saying, quote, "I don't mind Elon turning against me, but he should have done so months ago. This is one of the greatest bills ever presented to Congress. It's a record cut in expenses, $1.6 trillion, and the biggest tax cuts ever given. If this bill doesn't pass, there will be a 68% tax increase, and things are far worse than that. I didn't create this mess. I'm just here to fix it. This puts our country on the path of greatness. Make America great again." That's very interesting. Right? Trump, this goes back to the point I was making over Elon Musk and Donald Trump, or Elon Musk really, not understanding how politics works. Trump says, this bill puts our country on a path of greatness. He doesn't say it solves $37 trillion in debt. He doesn't say that it solves all of the financial struggles and issues that the United States is dealing with. It puts the country on a path to getting there. That path is a long one. You're looking at least 10 years, at least a decade of very strategic decisions by Republicans in Washington, D.C., holding the White House, holding the House and the Senate to really begin to get the country into a place where it can recover from the financial mistakes of the past. Trump understands this. I saw this great post on X. I don't remember who posted it, and I'm trying to pull it up here this morning. This guy, Naval, N-A-V-A-L, on X put this post out, and he said, Elon's stance is principled. Trump's stance is practical. Tech needs Republicans for the present. Republicans need tech for the future. Drop the tax cuts, cut some of the pork, get the bill through. And I found that to be an interesting thing because I think what he says about Elon and Trump is pretty spot on. You know, Elon absolutely believes in those cuts. So does the president. But Elon is not looking at this from a practical standpoint, I believe. I don't know this to be a fact. I've never talked to Elon Musk. I've got no insider information. But I think that's the struggle that he's dealing with, is the practicality of a very complex U.S. political system. The practicality of how hard it is to get things done in Washington, D.C. Now, Elon Musk is a guy that's familiar with getting tough things done. I mean, he started an independent space company that is now the world's leader in space. He started a high-speed internet company just a couple of years ago that has provided rural individuals access to high-speed internet that was never thought possible all across the world. He knows tough. He knows hard, but he's used to being in the driver's seat. And I think that is part of the issue. Elon Musk is not in the driver's seat on this thing. Trump is, as he should be. Elon was not elected president. Elon was not elected by the American people to lead the country. President Donald Trump was. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to be at odds with each other. That doesn't mean that they'd need to be holding knives at each other's throats. But I think that's where Elon is struggling. And I think that's part of this major explosion that you saw yesterday between the two. Now, of course, mainstream media is getting a good play on this, but I'll say this in closing this discussion. Everybody listening this morning, you are continually what I will call the 1%. You are hyper involved in politics. You are somebody that spends time on social media, keeping yourself informed and engaged. And while there's many folks that do that, the vast majority of the American people are not glued to X. They're not glued to Elon Musk's Twitter feed. They're not glued to Donald Trump's Truth Social feed. Right? The political folks like you and I that follow this stuff day in and day out and are hyper involved in it, we see this as a major story. And it is. But you have to remember that over 300 million American people, the vast majority of them are not watching this battle take place live. Yeah, they're hearing coverage. I'm sure they're reading about it on social media. I'm sure they're seeing it in the news because it is a story. Sure. But it seems like a much bigger deal to us because we're so actively involved and engaged. And the fact of the matter is the vast majority of the American public is not. They're not actively involved in this stuff. They're not getting notifications every single time Elon Musk tweets. They don't have an account on Truth Social where they're seeing posts from the president. They're not. They're not involved in politics. And I just think that's kind of a good barometer check on the whole thing. For example, this weekend, I'm heading up to Greensboro for the North Carolina Republican Party convention. And I'm sure that's going to be the big talk because everybody in the room is hyper and super active in politics, right? You're going to a political party convention. So it'll be the big news there. But for the rest of the country, for the rest of people that are not, you know, don't eat, sleep, and breathe politics like many of you do, like I do, is it that big of a story? Is it really that big of a deal? And the answer probably is no, not really. Yeah, you could see. Yeah, I'm sure the media is talking about it. Absolutely. It's a great story for the left because they can poke fun at Trump and talk about him. But at the end of the day, who cares? I mean, that's really where this stands from. If Elon Musk doesn't want to be associated with Trump anymore and thinks that what he's doing is a disaster, that's fine. He can go back to SpaceX. He can go back to Tesla. He can go back and work on all of his projects. Nobody elected Elon. We elected Trump. That's who we supported. That's who we continue to support. I don't have an Elon Musk hat. I have a MAGA hat. And if Elon wants to break from MAGA and what they're pushing forward, then that's his prerogative to do so. I'm very curious what's going to happen after this call today. You can imagine that both Elon and Trump will post about it in one way or another on their social media platforms. We'll keep an eye on that. If it's anything substantial, we'll provide details coming up for you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, today's date, June the 6th, 2025, you go back to that same date in 1944, and that is when the invasions of the beaches at Normandy took place, D-Day. Today is the anniversary of D-Day, where the beaches in northern France were stormed by troops of the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom during World War II. France at the time was occupied by armies of the German government, and the amphibious assault, codenamed Operation Overload, landed some 156,000 Allied soldiers on the beaches of Normandy by the end of the day. Despite their success, more than 4,000 Allied troops were killed by German soldiers defending the beaches. At the time, the D-Day invasion was the largest naval, air, and land operation in history at that time. At the time, the D-Day invasion, again, was that. And within a few days, about 326,000 troops, more than 50,000 vehicles, and some 100,000 tons of equipment had landed on the beaches of Normandy. By August of 1944, all of northern France had been liberated, and in the spring of 1945, the Allies had defeated the Germans. Historians often refer to D-Day as the beginning of the end of World War II. Obviously, that is pretty hard to argue with when you look at the fight and the manpower of D-Day and all of the planning that went on for that. There's so many great documentaries on D-Day going through some of the history and describing, you know, there was the plan were on was where they were things were on hold for a couple of days because the weather was just not conducive at all for this sort of a large scale invasion. I believe it was supposed to be maybe June 3rd or 4th, and it kept getting delayed because of the weather. And then eventually, June 6th, 1944 rolls around and the assault is able to take place. Allied troops are able to work their way through France and, of course, eventually force the Germans to throw up the white flag and go forward with everything, with the ending of World War II and getting rid of some of the Nazi-occupied control throughout Europe. It is an amazing day in not only American history, but an amazing day in world history. If you've got some time this afternoon, I'd encourage you to head on over to YouTube or and just kind of search for some of these D-Day documentaries. There are a lot of really great shows and interviews and things that have been conducted over the years, shining the light on D-Day and all of the planning and all of the work that went into making that happen. It is truly a remarkable story for the history of the world. I'll have some links in the show notes over on the Patreon if you're interested in checking that out. You can get those daily show notes and more over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. As we round out the show on this Friday morning, just a couple of other things to let you know. Yesterday, President Donald Trump had some substantial phone calls with the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, apparently over tariffs. They talked for almost 90 minutes on the phone yesterday as that 90-day window is starting to run out with the United States and China. Currently, the United States has 30% tariffs on China. The Chinese government has 10% tariffs on the United States. That continues to play out. Those discussions do continue between two of the world's largest economies. And of course, we will keep an eye on that as the negotiations continue, as these trade talks continue, not only with China, but with so many other nations. We will keep an eye on those details, and I'll bring you the latest as it's relevant right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, unfortunately, weather-wise, not looking great this weekend. Hopefully, however, you are able to enjoy it. We will continue to track the Elon Donald Trump saga over the weekend and bring you the latest right here. Thanks to the Law Group in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Have a great weekend. We're back with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.